I just had a power surge here at home that wiped out a file I was working on.
Listen, I'm in big trouble. You know anything about computers?
Gee.
Right, well, my BLT drive on my computer just went AWOL, and I got this big project due tomorrow for Mr. Kawasaki, and if I don't get it in, he's going to ask me to commit Harry Carey. Yeah, well, you know these Japanese management techniques.
Could you, read me the number on the modem?
Welcome to Exposition Street, celebrating geek movies in all their splendiferous glory and a presentation of Prismatic Tsunami. My name is Eric. Thank you much for joining us for our film cast. We have a very special presentation for you today. First, we're going to go ahead and introduce the panel. Before we get to that, if you would like to drop us a line, recommend a movie, feel free. Feedback at PrismaticTsunami.com is the best way to do it. Getting things started for today. Doesn't every school keep an Olympic-sized swimming pool on the roof? Over here, it's Richard.
Hang on a second. I'm trying to do a soft reset real quick so I can do a man-in-the-middle attack on the cache.
No one will ever see that coming. Nobody warned her that cracking systems involves flying through a 3D environment filled with floating, incomprehensible algebraic equations and psychedelic backdrops. It's Vanessa.
That'd be really fun if it did, though.
It's good thing he invested in rollerblades before the bubble burst. It's Jason.
Hi.
And finally, hack the planet! There's the kid.
It's what we like to call a double DOS, if you know what I mean.
Today, we're talking about hackers.
What if I don't know what you mean?
It's called a distributed denial of service attack. That's when you get all your friends.
But apparently, what if you don't know what he means, he'll explain what he means. And it's a lot less sexy when he does that. So, or creepy. I get him confused.
A little from column A, a little from column B.
It turns me on a little. I'm okay.
You're not the expert. This came out on September 15th, 1995. How's that track for you? How old were you?
Seven.
Yeah, okay, just checking. Went straight to number four at the box office with $3.1 million its opening weekend. Was beat by Dangerous Minds, was on its sixth week in the theater. Clockers had just come out, and Tu Wong Fu was sitting in the number one spot for its second week.
Woohoo!
Nice. I don't know if Tu Wong Fu was number one the first week. I didn't look that up. But in any case, it beat the hell out of this with, like, you know, $6 million that week. So
I'm pretty sure I listened to that movie.
Listen to that movie?
Well, I was in another room at the time.
PG-13, runtime of 1 hour and 45 minutes, a neophyte.
Wait. How did this movie get a PG-13 rating? Seriously.
A lot of
sex. What would have prevented it?
It had a nipple.
It had two nipples, several ass cheeks, at least one simulated sex scene, a fair amount of language. I mean, how did it get a PG-13 rating?
There was nothing in here that I think would have warranted an R rating, even then.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I've seen movies with an R rating that had less objectionable material from a puritanical point of view. But
the believe it or not, the MPAA has never actually functioned on a puritanical point of view. They have very specific metrics.
Well, I noticed,
there wasn't more than one F-bomb in the
movie. I was
going to
say, I noticed straight from the beginning that it said PG-13 and then had a list of like five things that it was justifying the rating for. Yeah. And I was like, that seems kind of strange.
But, so you're asking me? You're the one that saw the five things. I have no idea.
It was like language, sexual content, nudity. I can't remember what the other ones were.
Ultraviolence, yeah, I think.
I believe the term would be partial nudity.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. It didn't say partial nudity. It said nudity.
Because no one was ever fully nude. Even the S-cheeks had boxers.
There are still parts that are subjective to the whole process, so it doesn't really matter.
There was one scene where...
when Joey was on the floor?
Yeah, Joey.
He had the towel.
Was fully nude. No, he lost the towel when he was trying to dive for his computer at the very end.
He did. I remember that scene.
Ironically, by the way, actor was only 16.
Oh, that's child porn.
I'm forgetting that scene.
So now you're telling me it only had a PG-13 rating with child porn. That's fantastic.
I apparently totally forgot that scene, like, completely.
That's fair. If I could find a way to... No, I don't have that capped, obviously. There's nothing worth replaying in that sequence. All right. May I go on?
Yeah.
Kid? Just...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A neophyte, quote, hacker, becomes the target of the FBI after he unknowingly taps into a high-tech embezzling scheme which could cause a horrific environmental disaster in the suspenseful drama. Took that from Amazon.
Not even close to correct.
No. Kind of, but the one on IMDb was only like 7 or 8 words long. Nothing. Nothing to do with the movie.
That one doesn't either, though.
I mean, wouldn't it be something like Angelina Jolie's lips, accurate. Very young?
Kind of.
PG-13. Directed by Ian Softly.
Oh, three nipples.
Ian Softly.
I forgot about Cereal's nipple.
It's going to be a long cat.
Can I go home now?
No, you're running this show.
Running?
Yeah.
I think that's a high bar right there. I'll keep pretending. Ian Softly, we know him from very little. He was the director for, didn't have a lot of directorial credits, actually. He did K-Pax 2001.
Oh, God.
Which was...
I've never seen that.
Kevin Spacey. Inkheart. Inkheart in 2008.
Inkheart's okay.
Okay.
I've never seen that.
Got an okay
movie.
Out of Vanessa.
K-Pax is absolute one. Garbage. Inkheart is actually not bad.
You've never seen Inkheart? I've never seen Inkheart.
It's been a long time.
Vanessa's
since
the
I've
only
seen
one.
It. Oh, my God. It's a miracle.
How come Vanessa's the only one who gets kazoos when she hasn't seen
it? What does a reverse kazoo sound like?
No, that did not sound.
Do we need to add Inkheart to the list so that I can be the one that's seen something?
I mean, we
Giver,
could totally
you did that
do
on
that.
Giver, and actually, nobody of us regretted it.
Someone still needs to see it. Looking at you, kid.
Written by Raphael Moreau, who wrote this and The Rage, Carrie 2. That was it.
There's a Carrie 2?
Well, it was like 80 years later, but yeah.
Oh, good lord.
Music by Simon Bowell, who did. Tin Man, the
what an
series?
Yeah. Oh, I loved Tin Man. It was so good.
Tin
Man was
remember
fantastic.
Liking the music, but the music in this was good.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it was really, really apropos.
It had that one chick. I can't remember her name, but she had the monkeys tattooed on her.
That means so little to me. It's funny.
What are you talking about?
Carry on.
I completely forgot that it opens up with Orbital's Halas on and on and on.
Uh-huh.
I knew that so well from the Mortal Kombat soundtrack.
From Mortal Kombat, yeah.
I didn't realize that was the cold
and
open.
Mortal Kombat actually came out just a few months, like a couple months before this.
And
it was on the end of the soundtrack.
Actually, when we started watching this movie, my wife goes, "Where have I heard that music before?" That's from Mortal Kombat. And I looked at her. I was like, no.
Yes.
But yes.
Yeah. Because on the soundtrack, it's
the
right
asshole.
After Tracy Lord's song.
And Guy Pratt, who did music for various TV stuff, including Spaced.
Don't know that one.
Mm. Starring Mr. Johnny Lee Miller as Dade Murphy, or Crash Override, or Zero Cool.
No, he should have stuck with that one, because that dude had zero cool.
I guess
also,
technically.
Zero acting ability.
I guess, That's rough. I'll tell you something that will actually change your estimation a little bit. The dude is severely British.
No.
Yeah.
You can only tell in like 18 lines in this movie that he's a British guy trying to do an American accent. Well, British, I don't know. But he
as opposed to the 22 scenes in which you can tell he is a piece of cardboard trying to do an American accent.
He was Sick Boy in Train Spotting. That was the year after this.
I thought he was just
pretty
stoic.
Close, which I guess was a very Scottish movie. So
ish, yeah.
He was Orrin Goodchild in Aeon Flux. Jordan Chase in Dexter.
Oh, snap. He was, wasn't he?
And but in my opinion,
Sherlock
most
Holmes.
Notably, Sherlock Holmes.
In Elementary. And that's where I very heavily disagree with you on the acting, but that was
it
20
was
years later.
Years later.
He did good as Jordan Chase. Mm.
Even my mother
that.
Could learn how to act in 30 years.
That was the best character in that season.
And Angelina Jolie, who was Mrs. Johnny Lee Miller for a little bit. She played Kate. This was her first feature film. Pushing 10 came out. Bone Collector came out. Girl Interrupted came out all like 4 years later. So it wasn't like she wasn't like the juggernaut of Angelina for a number of years yet. But this was, she was young.
Did anyone else notice how round her face was?
Yeah, it did have a roundy quality.
There were so many things I noticed about her face. Roundness was not one of them.
I'm sorry. I could not see past her lips.
It was very circular and full of lips. And now it's kind of elongated and full of lips.
I've always blamed her for the trend where full lips became really big for a while back then.
Full lips have always been really big. That's why we call them
really
full
big.
Lips.
They were ruined by Megan Fox.
Realistically, I couldn't see past the eyeshadow for that character on any scene.
Wow. That was I couldn't see the eyeshadow through the lips.
That was a fashion choice.
There was that one scene where I noticed she had eyeshadow, but that's because it made her look like a geisha.
I can't say anything about eyeshadow, though, because I grew up doing 80s new wave stuff. So.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't see past her eyeshadow because Razor and Blade's eyeshadow game was so much more on
me. Oh, my God.
Well,
I forgot about them.
I definitely
they're in BC. I'm okay with that. Cannot
forget about
them. Okay. I will agree with Razor and Blade for MVC.
Okay.
All right.
Are we fashionably late?
Blade, I could definitely go with. I'm not so sure about Razor.
You have to have both of them. They were it's a Razor joint and package. Blade.
We're not even through the guest list. We're already talking about that. That's funny.
I don't even have the actors down for, I felt, pretty obvious reasons.
Blade was just fabulous. Razor they was were kind of riding his coattails, in my opinion, but hey.
And Matthew Lillard, of course, I don't remember him from anything before this.
Oh, God, that was Matthew Lillard. Was.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Played Serial Killer. Scream was the year after this, and like Wing Commander was in 99. He played Shaggy and Scooby-Doo in 2002. I mean, it's...
When I saw Hackers the very first time, I said, that guy needs to play Shaggy if they ever do a live-action Scooby-Doo.
And I've had that conversation with you before. That's awesome.
And he did. And I was thrilled.
Fortunately, Freddie Prinze Jr. apparently had the same thought. Because it was when he got the Scooby-Doo casting thrown at him, he was like, I know the guy that's going to play, that's got to play Shaggy. I got to tell you guys, I know exactly the guy. And Matthew got the part on his walk. I thought that was great. He could do the Shaggy shuffle.
Yeah. That was my very first thought watching that movie the very first time when I was 15 or 16 years old. This is a nostalgia flick for me.
Hackers, yeah, definitely.
Hackers is definitely a nostalgia flick for me.
True of us all.
No.
No, not true of us all.
True. Yeah, I think we've established one word, that on the way
no.
in.
Damn it, Vanessa.
You're harsher than my mellow.
I'm going to be harshing a lot by the end of this.
Wow. Oh,
I love it when keep I'm not coming. The bad guy.
And I really like him. I like how expressive he is as an actor. I think he's interesting. He just kind of taken a lot of strange roles over the years to fit his strange personality.
He was one of the best things that happened to this movie.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that.
And just not the MVC.
No. He was too main character for MVC.
He was too main character.
He's too MC to be MVC.
The other hackers in the movie, Renly Santiago played the freak. He was in Dangerous Minds as well. Daylight, which was like the next year. Con Air, which I most notably remember him from, as the one who was doing all the dancing. And Jesse Bradford played Joey, and he was Balthazar in Romeo and Juliet the following year. And I couldn't find anything else in his credits I knew from. So
that's probably for the best.
I forgot about that. And, the movie was terrible.
So that was the good guys. And then Fisher Stevens played the Plague.
Yes, yes, he did.
Do you have anything about Lord Nikon? Because he seemed familiar to me, but I didn't look
him up. I looked him up, and I didn't know him from anywhere.
Okay. Yeah,
I apologize. I don't even have the actor's name on the list now. I did earlier, and I think I accidentally deleted him because I didn't have anything on him.
I'm going to look it up.
But, yeah, go ahead and look him up. At least get his name on the show here. But
I was pretty sure in his first scene where he's introduced that I recognized him as that guy from Hexen.
Lawrence on the cover? Mason is his name.
No, is that a video just game? Me?
Really?
Yeah, it was.
Got 50 acting credits.
Well, that could be a lot that I didn't recognize him from.
He was in one episode of Gotham.
Well, yeah, but single, I mean, like TV show episode appearances.
Yeah, lots of single episode TV appearances.
I mean, that's good. I mean, I thought the dude was fine. It was good, so he didn't work.
Basically a cameo actor is what you're saying.
That's what it looks like.
I don't think that's the right word.
It's not.
Cameo is when you're like doing a stunt appearance in something. Think it means. Yeah. He's somebody
behind
who's
enemy lines,
he's getting
AI,
a job.
More of a walk-on actor.
Walk-on, walk-off.
That's pretty much it. Walk-off.
Fisher Stevens played the Plague. He was Ben... I can't say the name.
Ben
Short Circuit.
Oh, yeah, that dude.
God, I haven't seen Short Circuit.
The horribly racist, brown-faced Indian character played by a British man.
Oh, I thought you were saying he was the guy that played Johnny Five.
No. That would not have been as cringy.
That would have been robot
he was
face.
Playing the Johnny Five sidekick.
Yeah, he was that guy.
That's just about as offensive.
Oh, the
as
one who reassembled was. Stephanie. That's right. I remember.
You were quoting the role. I get it.
I was quoting the role.
It was cringy.
I actually thought
so
about
so cringy
because it was such a dramatic shift. I actually thought about pulling audio from Short Circuit just to compare contrast that, and then realized that I couldn't make myself do it.
You know, we should do Short Circuit for the show.
Yeah, I was like,
Short Circuit
really
was such a darling for me when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and I loved it so much.
Nostalgia.
I don't think
and
I
the last time I tried
movie.
To watch it, I saw through the brown face, and it was just so cringe.
I haven't seen it in 20 years. I'm curious to watch it with a critical
eye. Yeah, I know. I know. Modern day sensibilities.
He was also in Lost. He was one of the guys in Lost. He was George Minkowski.
Did he get found?
You obviously haven't seen Lost.
There's reasons for that.
Right.
6 seasons of them. Lorraine Bracco was Margot. I like her in everything I've seen her in, but yeah, she did a ton of work. And Penn Jillette, ran out my list of the cast here, played Hal, which was, we figure, probably a reference to Hal 9000.
Yeah, he was so fun.
I liked the casting of Penn in this. I thought that was freaking cool.
It's okay. I saw him and went, is that Penn Jillette? And Justin looks up. Ha! Huh, so it is.
Penn Jillette? As in Penn and Teller?
In Penn and Teller. Yeah.
How did I miss him?
I don't know.
How? What?
How he's did you 6'10".
It looked just like him.
I know. He's huge. And I don't just mean physically.
He was always the same hairstyle behind the desk, and everything.
If you were waiting for him to stand up, you never would have seen him.
Oh, I know how I missed him.
You were looking at the computers behind him.
It was magic.
Yes, I was looking at the
short guy standing around saying nothing.
So he only ever appeared in the scenes with the
leg.
The what was it called?
The Gibson.
The Gibson.
Yep.
Yeah.
And when he was first introduced, they showed the back of his head real quick, and my dad was like, "He looks familiar." Mom goes, "Was that Penn or Teller or whichever one he is, the one that talks?"
The one that talks.
And then they proceeded to have the phone call, and she's like, "It is. That's his voice. That's Penn or Teller
or whichever
one that talks."
That's great.
She's not wrong.
How did they get him into this?
I actually don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the story is.
Money's a motivator.
He has done a little bit of acting over the years and, producing and directing and stuff.
He's done a lot,
It looked like a fun role.
He's done some magic.
A lot of magic.
Well, yeah, and juggling and storytelling and
TV shows.
Hosting.
Yeah.
I like Penn and Teller.
So do I.
It's one of my personal dreams I haven't actually manifested yet is to get a nowadays it had to be Vegas.
I would love to go to Vegas and see one of their shows.
I like Penn.
My wife isn't terribly interested, Vanessa, but I don't know if I'd get away with taking you to Vegas.
Well,
you
darn.
You know what they say.
Yeah, right?
What a trip to Vegas would cost?
$20 million budget.
Sounds
that
about
would
right.
Be one hell of a trip to Vegas.
All right.
$20 million budget. $3.1 million its opening weekend, $7.5 million for its gross. So it did not make its money.
I can see why.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Much like the trip to Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, hackers.
Oh, where to begin on this film?
I'm not starting.
So everybody except Vanessa had seen this movie before, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty much times,
long ago. But it's been a while.
And so how were your expectations compared to the reality of watching it for the show? Just out of curiosity.
I thought I was going to give it a higher score than I am about to.
That's saying something for you. That's,
I will make this.
But you are critical. So that's,
It's been so long since I've seen it. For some reason, my brain, like every time I think back to Hackers, I keep doing this thing where I take like the plot of The Net and then I replace Sandra Bullock with Angelina Jolie's lips. And that's what I remembered. So I actually really enjoyed this movie because it was much better. although I would have liked Sandra Bullock in this movie better.
Wow.
Is there a movie you wouldn't like Sandra Bullock in?
Hellbound Hellraiser. No, she actually should probably be really good in that one.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm a Sandy fan. Call me.
She's a little older, I think, than Angelina, isn't she?
I still love her.
Where would she have been in 95? What did she do in the 90s, sort of mid-90s?
She would have had to have been Johnny Lee's mom.
Well, I don't know if she was that much older, but, I mean, Angelina was young. She was like 24 or something.
Yeah. But it just, the story is a niche. It's in a particular zone. It's in this hacker culture. The story exaggerates the fun parts of the hacker culture and then lowers down some of the other ones.
It gives hacker culture more culture than hacker culture ever had.
It called back into some of the early hacker culture, even again making references to the freaking and using sounds to pay your phone stuff that they figured out a way to get to stop doing that to make free phone calls.
This was the first place I remember hearing about phone phreaking was this movie. I was not tied into that culture though. But I mean, when you think about it, that's what War Games. Mm-hmm. I mean, what he was doing. That's right?
Exactly what he was doing. Yeah.
I mean, that was 10 years before this.
Didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they also make references to the internet and this and stuff. And I had not seen the internet when this movie came out.
This movie still falls into the trap that. And it comes back to some of the things I said in our episode we did on sneakers as well, where the technology that you see because it makes it play better on the screen is way above anything that actually existed and actually at this point still wouldn't exist. And most of the pictures you look at when you're looking at stuff they're doing when they're hacking is pretty much meaningless.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, and anybody knows that nowadays. I mean, anybody could suppose that based on even if they don't know a lot about computers, they're so commonplace in our world now. Nobody's going to think, well, if I was a hacker, I'd get to see, you know, letters and numbers flying in my face against a psychedelic backdrop every time.
Well, if you take enough acid.
The hacking sequences, interestingly, I read where you see like the inside of the, you know, they're mostly motion controlled models in this because Ian Softley thought that actual computer graphics would look too artificial.
What was it? Well, that was what they were talking about in
amusing.
In one of the other things we were watching where the only reason they were able to do it is because that computer that they had in there had just come out. Otherwise, the graphics couldn't have been done realistically. Yeah, Explorers, because graphics just weren't able to do that.
I really don't have a problem with the weirdly over-the-top computer-generated effects in this to represent the hacking, because I thought it was fun, and that's all I really cared about. And but if you tie into the tech, now the reason I asked about your age, interestingly enough, mm-hmm. is because I think that really matters when watching this movie.
Fair.
Because you've grown up in a very much computer-soaked world, you know.
Yeah.
By the time you were in middle school, the internet was very much a part of our lives. This was a very different era for us. I know that Rich, for example, was more computer literate probably than a lot of people I knew at that age.
I was still programming in assembly language at that point.
The functional sort of presentation of everything here represented something real. And they did, I was reading about it because I didn't understand what I was looking at. They did a ton of research. And they did, because obviously the guys that wrote the movie and the director, they did this because they were interested in exploring this hacker subculture in a story like this. Yeah, and what it can mean. And so a lot of the stuff you see, and we'll come across it in some of the clips that I capped, of course, is stuff that's very much part of the, you know, of that, I don't want to say that culture, because it's very much part of their practice, though, part of their world. I feel like, and they visited with and they consulted actual hackers. You know, they went to, you know, meetings where people who were into this type of activity.
Right. Because even though everything was shortcutted, a lot of what they were running into was things that were really happening. And the whole thing about them coming in and taking entire computer systems and things like that happen.
And a lot of the stuff, a lot of the terminology that they threw around for it, which seemed ridiculous, were references to things.
Real things, yeah.
They were either things in themselves or they were like references to famous things involved in that world. Like, I mean, it's like calling the Gibson a Gibson is a reference to William Gibson.
But even if you get rid of the fact that this is about hacking, you take away all the hacking out of this story, okay? If you ignore that, and let's look at the things of the plot line and the characters, it is basically that type of future punk storyline, where it's a future punk adventure story. And so, you know, pulling away from the hacking, you know, pulling that out, you still have a diverse group of characters in interesting settings, in their own cultural groups, interacting with other groups, and then facing a challenge and overcoming it by working together.
Plus the whole working against corrupt business people and a corrupt, bad guy hacker and the government,
the community together to get around things where the government was impeding because the government thought that the person who was the bad guy was doing the good thing. Because they had the money.
You do know if you take the hacking out of this movie, you don't have hackers, right?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying that there are a lot of great characterizations.
The original draft was called
Slackers. There are a lot of great characters, and there's a lot of great little storylines in here, even if you didn't care for the overall arc of how they went.
I'm going to throw in a really quick comment. I appreciate your opinion.
But the truth is, without those things, you don't have a reason for a movie.
know, and I get that. I get that. The movie itself required everything together. But I'm just saying, I do appreciate the characterizations in here. And I like the individual characters. I love the fact that they all had their own styles. And back then, people did handles. And I still have a handle today that modern-day social media is all but tried to wipe out. But
yeah, they do, don't they? That's a good point.
I still have people who know me, who've known me for years, come up to me and call me Drake because that's what they've always known me as.
I get it.
They never knew another name for me.
If you don't have a handle, you don't have an identity.
Also, we have to look at how it's playing into the early mid-90s question of identity and individuality, and how this really did glorify this anti-establishment sort of construct where they really weren't the bad guys to boot, you know, they are our protagonists, if you will. But this anti-establishment, you know, plus, you know, diving into the subculture where being your own person, flamboyantly your own person, all this extravagant identity expression was glorified in the tone of the movie. And that was very much a part of its age culturally, I think, part of its era.
And that's part of that niche culture, too, you get into any group and you have a certain type of culture like that.
Yeah, before we get to the part where Vanessa tells us how crazy we all are for liking this shit.
And the wonderful romance.
Don't even get me started. It's coming.
We'll get you started.
Oh, my gosh. Look at those dark clouds coming in. I'm going to get an umbrella. I'm going to need a bigger umbrella.
I did note, interestingly enough,
the pool on the roof has a leak.
Because, like I said, this is Angelina's first feature film. The other actresses who were considered for the part included Hilary Swank, Heather Graham, Liv Tyler.
I recognize these names.
Catherine Heigl.
No.
I don't think any of those would have done.
None of them would have been Angelina.
I really enjoyed her portrayal.
Oh, yeah. Also, just to call back, Sandra Bullock is 11 years older than Angelina Jolie.
There you go. So, yeah, that's about what I would have guessed, about a decade.
I'm all right with that.
So that means that she would have been in her early 30s when this movie came out. It would have been a very different vibe.
if she got that haircut with that makeup style, you might not have been able to tell, though.
Oh, you would have been able to tell. The moment I saw her nipples.
I'm 30, playing 16.
Welcome to Dawson's Creek.
That's the other reason she probably wouldn't have gotten the part. Let's see. This eclipse, defendant.
This defendant possesses a superior intelligence, which he uses to a destructive and antisocial end. His computer virus crashed 1,507 systems, including Wall Street trading systems, single-handedly causing a 7-point drop in the New York stock market.
Dade Murphy, I hereby fine your family $45,000. Sentence you to probation, under which you are forbidden to own or operate a computer or touch-tone telephone until the day of your 18th birthday.
Touch-tone telephone.
I know.
What is a touch-tone telephone?
Yeah, I knew she was going to ask.
They are a type of mini computer.
She knows. Yeah, the thing to replace the rotary dial.
Oh, God.
Oh, I miss the rotary dial.
No, you don't.
I don't.
Rotary dials are so annoying.
Especially if you had to dial 9. Click, yeah. Click, 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 click.
Oh, God. Click, click. My phone number would be so horrible.
Class.
Angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo in the machinery of the night.
Skinsbury.
Nice. Very nice.
He's not in this class.
He said give me time.
He's not enrolled in this class.
Well, he's on my list. Of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most.
Ozzy Osbourne.
You, however, are not on my list.
And that was our introduction to Serial.
Yeah. He's setting up some character conflict at the beginning. I thought was kind of cool.
I'm pretty sure he was in drag in that scene.
Serial?
Yes.
I have no idea.
I think it's just a weird outfit.
I could not track his clothing at all. I didn't want to try.
I don't know that his stuff was gendered really at all.
I was going to say, until he spoke, I was trying to figure out if he was a boy or a girl.
Are you assuming the gender of his clothing?
No. No, sure, I'm not assuming the gender of his clothing. I'm assuming the gender of his chest implants.
Oh, gosh.
I really love this character.
A weird tank top thing going on.
The Crayola.
So I'm looking around. Yeah, you have those Crayola books?
Oh, yeah. Technicolor rainbow. Green one.
What is that? What are these?
international Unix environments.
Luscious orange.
Computer security criteria, DoD standards. Pink shirt book, guide to IBM PCs. Devil book, Unix Bible.
What's that?
Dragon book, compiler design.
Yeah. What's
that? The red book, NSA trusted networks. Otherwise known as the ugly red book that won't fit on a shelf.
Yeah.
That book was large.
Real stuff, by the way.
I was pretty sure we used to have one of those on our coffee table.
I doubt it was the same ugly red book that wouldn't fit on a shelf. Your parents weren't into Unix stuff, were they?
No.
The pink shirt book lived in my house for one point in time.
No, did you really have a pink shirt book?
I had a pink shirt book. I had a copy of the pink shirt. It wasn't my copy, but Dad or my brother had it. I remember seeing it. And when it came across the TV, I was like, pink shirt.
That's funny. I'm pretty sure when this movie came out, I had zero idea what any of that meant.
I barely do now.
Actually, that's a very good point. I'm kind of there. Gibson?
All right, All right, what are the three most common used passwords?
Love, secret, and sex. But not in that order, necessarily, right?
Yeah, but don't forget God. System operators love to use God. It's that whole male ego.
Look, you want to be elite? You gotta do a righteous hack. None of this accidental shit.
Yeah, you want a seriously righteous hack. You score one of those Gibsons, man. You know, supercomputers they use to, like, do physics and look for oil and stuff?
Ain't no way, man. Security's too tight.
Setting it up for you. Teeing it off.
To this day, I still, whenever I do anything where I have to give myself a title, I always call myself General Operations Director. Which is God.
I love the fact that they set that up as a male ego thing and then it turns out to be Margo's password.
Right.
Isn't that the implication in that? Uh-huh. In that
yeah.
Yeah. If your holiness would like to, I don't think I've got that. Oh, here's the
also,
plague.
I'm curious to know if those ever were, in fact, the three most commonly used passwords.
Yes.
Pretty sure password
absolutely.
Is the most used 100%,
password. 100%. And password is another one of the, yes.
I wonder, it makes you wonder because we live in this security conscious world now where they want you to make them complex.
Eight characters,
in
numbers,
response to that.
Symbols.
But if
right,
you make them sense. Put a number in, they can't use one of those words.
I could not remember a time when passwords of three-letter length
yeah, exactly.
were considered secure. But
I do. It was the 90s.
Fair.
I mean, I remember the 90s.
Might be a real thing.
Evidently, mm-hmm.
I
don't
never
remember
had a
the text
short,
scene in the 90s.
Ever.
You could still set up things. I've still set up web apps where I've had to tell it to do more than three.
Fair.
The plague.
Mr. Belford?
My name is the Plague.
Mr. The Plague, something weird's happened on the net.
As in what, you hapless techno-weenie?
The accounting subdirector in the Gibson's working really hard. We got one person online, and the workload is enough for like 10 users. I think we got a hacker.
Yeah. Penn Jillette.
I love Penn Jillette.
And techno-weenie. We get that in there. But I love Fisher Stevens in this movie. He is fantastic. He eats the scenery every time he's on.
He does.
Say that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
What does that phrase even mean? I've heard it so many times and I've never had any clue what it's supposed to mean.
Eats the scenery?
Yes.
It means that when he's there, you have trouble looking at anything else but him because he is just so dynamic and amazeballs.
They are the focus.
That see, you can't even say that a serial killer in this because despite the fact that he's so dynamic, most of the scenes he's in are ensemble scenes.
Right.
And so there's a lot of shifting and sharing.
But the plague.
Yep. He owns everything that he's part of.
Didn't he roll in on a scooter in that first scene?
Something like
I don't
that.
Remember. Yeah.
It was a skateboard or something.
Because he shows up on the skateboard in the limo scene as well. And I remember
yeah,
thinking,
right.
okay, that kind of breaks my cohesion just a little bit.
But it
really?
I felt like it fit because of the age, right? Because he was a hacker. So the assumption here is that he's not that much older probably than these teens. And skateboards were the thing before rollerblades, certainly.
And he refused to put up that toy to enter in the business world because he had that mindset of the geeks.
There was a VR set and all that?
Yes. Yes.
Let's see. How to put this gently. Hack the planet?
Hack the planet!
Those legs, not happy.
Joe Cola! The soft drink of the elite hacker.
Who are these guys?
Oh, it's Razor and Blade.
Find a payphone in a remote location.
Razor and Blade.
That's right, this is a payphone.
Don't ask. As you can see, it's just a simple microcassette recorder. Hook it up to the phone and drop in $5 in quarters. record the tones that the coins make, then hang up and get your money back. And never again pay for a service that would be dirt cheap if it weren't run by a bunch of profiteering gluttons.
Was it before or after that that we saw the freak actually doing that? I don't remember.
It was before.
It was before? Okay.
We understood what he was doing.
Because they were explaining at that point. Yeah. Because they explained. Again.
Well, and the first time we see the freak, he is on a payphone in school talking to Venezuela. Which
yeah,
I
right.
felt was kind of a dead giveaway.
Which yeah. I had an issue with. Dade comes walking into a new school for the first time, swarming full of kids. And he taps on the shoulder of the one guy on a payphone in the middle of a call instead of asking anybody else that's just aimlessly wandering around.
For the directions to the principal's office.
For the directions to the principal's office.
I don't know if you noticed this, but he's definitely slightly off culture. And he also had a weird thing where he grew up because he had limits to how much he could socialize on computers. So he's not as socially accepted, or he doesn't have all the social rules built in that everybody else has.
They did put a focus on that in the court scene, that he did not have social norms. Just saying.
Interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that point being part of that scene, but I guess it kind of tracks.
He's got some social inabilities, and it comes up throughout the movie.
Also, obviously, the fact that the other kid was, a co-star, one of the main characters.
They had to give him the speaking line.
Yeah, but,
you don't pay extra rules, for another speaking actor. That's silly.
But yeah.
It just annoyed me that he went after the one weird. Guy on a telephone. It
was weird. There was a wall of phones. He wasn't the only one.
There were three people on the telephones, actually.
Okay.
But Freak was the
one
who
went after
one
of the three people on a phone call instead of one of the 1,600 people not.
Right.
Yeah. They were busy going someplace. He was just standing there talking.
Don't be an apologist for this. I kind of think Jason's right.
I do
it's
think
a weird
Jason's
scene.
Right. It is a weird scene.
I feel like they did it on purpose to establish that, never mind.
Okay.
That Freak could talk to Venezuela.
I may have done similar things. That's all I'm saying.
He is the Phantom Freak spelled with PHs.
That's true. I'd forgotten about
spelled
that.
With PH.
That's a thing. That's, yeah.
What?
The phone freaking, the process of using the coin.
Spelled a PH.
Sound is PH. It's
right,
PH.
And that's why his name was Phantom Freak with a PH.
Because phone starts with a PH.
Yes, exactly.
King of 9X.
That's where it came from.
Come on.
And the King of 9X.
Virus.
Yesterday, the ballast program for a super tanker training model mistakenly thought the vessel was empty and flooded its tanks.
Excuse me?
The little boat flipped over. A virus planted within the Gibson computer system claimed responsibility.
What, it left a note? Unless $5 million are transferred to the following numbered account in 7 days, I will capsize 5 tankers in the annex fleet.
That is the virus. Leonardo da Vinci.
Yep. Again, great scene for introducing his role there, and what was going on. And I didn't continue to capture because there's a bunch of boring dialogue, but then they head down the escalator and you get the clue into the fact that he and Margot are in cahoots. Good words. And there, obviously, he was manipulating events based on the hack. Based on the hack. Yeah.
One of my favorite lines in the entire movie. What? It left a note?
Yeah, it's good. She had good lines.
Yeah.
It's a rabbit flu shot. Cancer, brain cancer. I just thought it was just. And Lorraine, this movie really, really didn't use her at all. I mean, she was a very, very kind of bit role here. But she is such a talented actress, given the kind of. She was on. A lot of people know her from The Sopranos. Because it was a big cultural thing for its time, which wasn't too long after this. But I remember stuff where that Medicine Man came out a few years before this that she did with Sean Connery, which was fabulous. Also an environmentally conscious movie. One of the things I thought was interesting here is because we're dealing with the oil tankers and stuff, and I think this was after the Exxon oil spill.
It would have been right around that time,
Because the Exxon was like closer to like 1990, somewhere in that area.
Don't know that one.
They referenced Exxon at some point. Mm-hmm.
But obviously intended to kind of grab your imagination as a viewer regarding that. This was an ecological disaster that we saw on television. I thought that was kind of cool. Let's see. I had to cap this. The manifesto.
This is our world now. The world of the electron and the switch. The beauty of the bond. We exist without nationality, skin color, or religious bias. You wage wars, murder, cheat, lie to us and try to make us believe it's for our own good. yet we're the criminals. Yes, I am a criminal. My crime is that of curiosity. I am a hacker, and this is my manifesto. Huh? Right? Manifesto? You may stop me, but you can't stop us all.
Good stuff.
Beautiful, man.
That was actually written by some relatively famous hacker about 10 years prior to this. So
yeah.
It wasn't even current at the time. But yeah, there you go.
Which we did miss that name, celebrity Mark Anthony.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was in there, yeah.
The little nerd cop.
I didn't recognize him again. Watching this, I didn't recognize him. And then, like, in the credits, he's on there. I'm like, is that the same?
It is.
Oh, gosh.
It's that Mark Anthony.
Weird. Yeah, that's cool. Let's see. Okay. So I felt like to really explore what the movie was trying to tell us, because we get, after this, we get into kind of the meat of the story, the conflict between Dade and Kate, the evolving situation that they're caught up in the middle of with the plague's machinations. But to start with, we had to really kind of highlight those differences to get these people all sparking together. And it led to some great sequences on it. But first, I thought I'd remind us all of just how creepy it started.
Check this out, guy. This is insanely great. It's got a 28.8 BPS modem.
Display?
Active matrix, man. A million psychedelic colors. Man, baby, sweet.
I want it.
Yeah, I bet it looks crispy in the dark.
I remember when these turtles were relevant.
I'm sorry.
Was that her, Tom?
One-handed.
Difficulty rating.
7. Burns wetware matches her softwear.
That's so bad.
That's so cringy. That entire thing was just cringe.
Super cringe.
But, I mean, those kinds of scenes, those kinds of sequences in stories and movies in the late 80s, early 90s were pretty common anyway. You know, perving on people and, you know, it's kind of that.
Especially in nerd movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you figure?
Because cameras were becoming ubiquitous, and the people who had access to them were on one side, and the rest of the world was kind of blindly going about.
I think that
was
the plot of Act 2 of Revenge of the Nerds right there, wasn't it?
Right, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Cameras are ubiquitous. Turf.
What is she doing in here?
Relax, Burn. He's my guest.
Burn. You're Acid Burn. You booted me out of OTV?
What?
I'm Crash Override.
You're the moron that's been invading my turf?
Whoa. Crash and Burn.
I love Serial's random noises and junk.
I guess Crash and Burn's better than Acid Override.
That depends on who you ask.
You know,
which, this is true.
Which again goes back to those picture scenes of the hacking.
Also better than Brangelina, now that you mention it. Let's see.
Although Brangelina was slightly more successful than Johnny Lee Miller Jelena.
But only slightly.
There's no good way to put that one together.
Johnny Lee Jolie.
Johnny Lee Jolie.
Johnny Jolina.
That just actually, yeah.
John Jolie.
John Jolie.
Oh, Lord.
John Jolina, I guess, is what it is. But
that almost sounds French.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt?
His name is my name, too.
Some more banter.
I hope you don't screw like your time.
I love how slow he gets after that.
Has a killer refresh rate.
That's so sultry.
P6 chip. Triple the speed of the Pentium.
Yeah. It's not just the chip. It has a PCI bus. You knew that.
Indeed. RISC architecture is going to change everything.
Yeah. RISC now is good.
I do love the fact that he doesn't mansplain. He starts to.
Oh, that's true.
And then he caps it with, but you knew that already. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, but I mean, it was obvious.
But that was the pillow talk, so, you know.
That was the pillow talk. Yeah. But it was
worst pillow talk ever.
I miss RISC architecture, by the way. Anyways.
Worst ever.
Well, he has to find an end past the quote-unquote just beautiful boyfriend.
Kyle. Just looks good all day.
Or just looks slick all day.
Just looks slick all day.
Even though I didn't think he was nearly as attractive as half the other people in the film. But he was supposed to be. So he needed to be able to get in a different door in order to boot the boyfriend.
Minor start to my relationship rant. She was already dating someone.
It was the 90s.
Yeah, it was the computer. Oh, you mean Kyle, who just looks slick all day.
already, and he was like hardcore pursuit mode.
Until she had a computer in front of her, apparently. He was like, are we really going to? Yeah, you're going to do that.
Technically, at this point, he was still in hardcore revenge mode. He had not yet gone to, like, I actually
despite
want,
the pillow talk.
He'd already gone into pursuant mode upon meeting
the
her.
Dreams.
He did go into a revenge like track, but it was still in pursuant mode, even on the revenge track.
Yes, I very much agree with you on that. Even when he claimed that he was being homicidal, it was obvious that he was
what's
being
the stalker. Interest? Sexual da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, purely homicidal.
Right. Yeah.
So even then, it wasn't pursuant. It was
also
different.
Am I correct in that after the suave-looking boyfriend makes the comment, are you going to do the computer thing? Yes, you are. And walks out of the room, and we never see him again in the movie?
Yes.
Which also frustrated me.
Okay, just checking.
Wow. Fidelity was your issue here?
There were respect? So many issues.
There's
Fidelity I don't is think she can one pick of just the one. Issues.
That's the umbrella. There's still a lot in there.
Oh, God, the umbrella.
Good call. Let's see. Chapter and verse.
No. Truce, you guys. Listen, we got a higher purpose here, right? A wake-up call from the Nintendo generation. We demand free access to data. Well, it comes with some responsibilities. When I was a child, spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's Corinthians 1. Chapter 13, verse 11. No, duh. Come on.
Okay.
Frank and Joey are being framed. We need your help to figure out what's on this disc.
You really want to pick on it?
They did not put away childish things.
I am so tired of hearing that goddamn quote.
This so was in 1995.
Tired. I'm not talking about movies, but at least they got the scripture reference right. But no one calls it Corinthians 1. It's 1 Corinthians, you hack.
Sorry.
That's
I
fair.
Call it Corinthians I, just to annoy people.
Oh,
that
God.
Would.
Corinthians I is even better.
So stop. This was, of course, the point at which we put it on the line. Kate's asking for help. Now we're moving our disparate crew together to focus on one thing. Slowly, but we're getting there. Because, of course, he's also been bugged by the plague on the side. Let's see. Worm?
You see all of this? This is every financial transaction Ellingson conducts, yeah? From million-dollar deals to the $10 that some guy pays for gas.
The worm eats a few cents from each transaction.
No one's caught it because the money isn't really gone. It's just data being shifted around.
And when the worm's ready, it zips out with the money and erases its drive.
Joey got cut off before he got to that part. Check it out. By this point, it's already running at what? Twice the speed as when it started.
And if this rate, it ends its run in
2 days.
Judging by this segment alone, man, it's already eaten about $21.8 million, man.
Whoever wrote this needs somebody to take the fall. And that's Freak, and that's Joey, and that's us.
All laid on the line right there.
I do have to say, just because it's been so long, that this entire plot scheme idea thing was not yet a cliche when this movie came out.
Right.
That's true.
I think it was better handled in Office Space.
It took so long to explain what the problem was in this movie.
This was also the first time in my life that I ever heard the term worm in reference to a piece of computer architecture. So that was kind of cool. I had never heard of a worm when I first saw this movie.
Oh.
I had heard of Trojans. I had heard of viruses. I had not heard of worms.
Worms.
Say
this
again.
Still wasn't really quite worms. Used right, but it was technically a type of worm, yeah.
5 minutes?
I'll hack the Gibson.
Dude, they'll trace you like that, man. The cops are gonna find you. They're gonna find you with a smoking gun.
Fucked if I care, man.
Look, even if you had the password, it'd take you 10 minutes to get in, and you still gotta find the files, man. I mean, the cops will have you in 5 minutes.
Oh, wow, we are fried.
Never send a boy to do a woman's job. With me, we can do it in 7.
You both screwed. I help, we do it in 6.
Jesus, I gotta save all your asses. I help, we could do it in 5 minutes.
Okay, let's go shopping. Woohoo! Boom!
Vanessa shaking her head.
That was such a bad sequence.
It was basically an audible equivalent of a hands in.
Yeah, I liked it.
My axe.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
My gun. Oh, wait.
That's not how any of it works.
But it kind of is.
Not really.
Let's see. I only have like one more because we're getting towards the end of the movie, and I pulled a lot of little clips, and I left some of them out because the show just would get unwieldy after a bit. But I do have this
kind of like this movie. Oh,
feel like yeah, I'm really anxious to get to you know that one part.
But why? Could it be to cover the tracks of this worm program? A worm that was to steal $25 million. The password to this hungry little sucker belongs to Margot. Head of Public Relations for Ellingson Mineral, and Eugene Belfort, Computer Security Officer.
Son of a bitch!
Oh, what's this? Is this the unnamed account in the Bahamas where the money was to be stashed? I think so.
Unlucky! Yo, kind of feel like God.
It shows the satellite. He says it. It's great.
Yeah.
I liked the way that played out because in the story, you know, when Cyril's kind of on the edge of losing his shit a little bit, they say, you know, you go do this thing, Joey, you sit in and do the hack. And so that's kind of that little moment of redemption, right, for Joey. And then he turns out to be the one that has to finish it as well, which is cool. Instead of making our principal hero, Dade, be the one that just does everything. It goes back to that whole, this is a collaborative process. And then even though you left Cyril out of that part, he becomes the one who manages to save everybody in the end because
precisely
he gets the message.
Because he got out of the scene right there.
Right. He still gets his piece of the pie.
I just thought that was good writing, you know, as far as making the characters, validating their role in things and making the characters work. I felt that, you know, I realized we have a lot of opinions that are about to come out.
But they were an ensemble rather than sidekicks.
Yeah. Yeah, I just kind of want to mention some of the stuff I thought I liked.
Can be blurry sometimes, but in this, it was very well done.
As far as the story of the movie, that was probably one of the better scenes. That's as nice as I can put it.
Wow. Okay.
Well, and out of all the characters, I was really glad it was Cyril who got to do the expose thing there because it just would not have been as much fun if anyone other than him had been doing it.
This is true.
All right. Well, let's see how this shakes out, guys. Do I sound trepidatious?
You ought to.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, Rich.
All right. Well, on my thumbs down, I like this movie. I do. Going back, I like it even more. I can't believe how much I forgot, but it's a subculture thing. So I get it's a little niche-y, but on my dislike, I'm still going to totally roll with the fact that I've never liked the way they've shown networking in video format to try and make it consumable. The only thing that messed that up more was the fact that the networking they were showing in the virtual space mirrored the really weird-looking server banks in the real world, which I'm like, no, I get server banks aren't pretty, but you could have put in tape drives from the 1950s and reel-to-reel tape drive computers from the 1950s and still had it look better.
I was really sitting here wondering why we didn't have this kind of looking like server room in like, you know, Ocean's 11 or any other heist film where you got to deal with servers and somebody tapping into something, sneaking into a place like, this looks so much cooler, but there'd be nothing to plug into.
Ever see a server room that looks like that, it's because somebody threw money at it to make it look like it does more than it actually can do. And if you have a service provider that has a server room that looks like that in a picture, they are lying to you about what they can provide for you.
Send us pictures, by the way. We would like to see it.
Ooh, send me pictures of your server. Mm, thanks. Ooh.
01101, baby.
Oh, okay. I gotta calm down, guys. I gotta finish this cast.
Oh my!
But on a thumbs up end, seriously, the characters were all individuals. They all had their own motives. They all did their own things. You felt like when they were off screen, they were doing something that was an interest to them, not just waiting for the other characters to need them. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the ensemble-ish. I enjoyed the fact that the characters, it built this fantasy world. It's that whole punk fantasy adventure movie thing. And I like it. I got to explore different characters and see different people doing different things in a different light. How realistic is it? It's a movie. At the end of the day, it's got that adventure feel. It actually uses somewhat real ideas to make an interesting story. And I thought the acting was even decent, and I appreciated the little plays at romance because in certain groups, romance is a lot more awkward than it is in some other groups. And I think it portrayed the awkwardness well. Believe me, I know awkward. So I am giving this a 4.5.
All right, Vanessa, your rebuttal, please.
I'm going to tear your movie to shreds.
I know, I got my zero button here.
So we're going to start with what I liked because it's a shorter list. I liked Penn Jillette. I liked Razor and Blade. I hated everything else. This movie was a waste of time, space, energy, and it took an hour and 45 minutes from my life. The story was bad. The romance was bad. The hacking was bad. The acting was bad. And whoever they paid to write this, they need to get their money back. It literally gets a half star for Penn Jillette and a half star for Razor and Blade, and that is it.
Wait. You're telling me you didn't even like the Olympic pool on the roof?
No. Break? No, I didn't.
Because I thought that was inspired.
No.
Especially when he goes running out on the roof and everyone's like, hold the door! And the door closes.
I actually read that it was inspired by something specific, like an actual thing in a school in New York or something, but it wasn't like on the roof. I always had
things like that happen in my life. Happen to everybody?
I was going to say, I did too. That's why I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
You honestly didn't even like the prank?
No.
Okay.
Like the entire story, it was bad. I did not appreciate anything about this movie. Except for Penn Jillette and Razor and Blade.
Not even Orbital at the beginning?
Nope.
I thought the music was great.
It fit the movie, but that doesn't mean a whole lot when you don't like the movie.
That's true.
All right.
I particularly liked the kind of the montage sequence at the phone booths and stuff. I liked that was interesting. But I like a lot of the visually kind of disconnected stuff like that. I'm not looking for reality.
It broke my immersion completely.
That's why I liked it. Because it broke your immersion? No. The montage when they're doing the stuff they're doing, because I didn't even talk about it, though, to the FBI agent as their competition.
Oh, the prank duel or the hack duel.
Yeah.
To mess with Agent Gill.
The specifics of it were okay, interesting, whatever. Although I did think it's funny when he was getting the calls from the people that were answering the ad, and you could hear the calls. It was obviously all Fisher Stevens doing different voices.
Right.
I haven't been able to find anything that could verify that, but it definitely was him. You can tell.
I wish you would have clipped that.
Yeah, I should have. I didn't think about it. But I loved the montage sequence of it. And a lot of the filming I thought was really cool in that. They would do a lot of these, the director would do a lot of these kind of sweep shots in the montages, almost to the point of like just shy of people kind of freezing in place.
It reminded me of a music video.
Definitely. They would be doing a thing with a... what did I read? That was something else that I read when I was looking through the people. I think it was Angelina. She was in a couple of music videos prior to this because she hadn't really done movies. Oh, it was Meatloaf videos, like Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through, which she was in. I'd forgotten about that, but I didn't realize it was before this movie.
I never even knew that.
Yeah. Anyway, aside, has nothing to do with anything. She was obviously a striking-looking young woman, so it was not surprising that she was chosen for stuff. Jason, what did you think?
Okay, so this was one of my favorite movies when I was a teenager. I gave it a lot of watch time, many times over. But it'd been a day or two. And so I'm rewatching it, and I'm now being critical. And this show has taught me to be critical. And I'm going to start with my thumbs up as well. Because it is a shorter list. I liked the style in which it was shot. I liked the broken video sort of montage-y bits. Like in the last hack when they were all in that line of phone booths, but the camera pulls back and they're all of each individual phone booth is on a turntable and it's going spinny, 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 spinny. And it's all 3D and fun and flashy, and I just liked that type of thing. And I liked the dual prank sequence where they're going after Agent Gill and proceedingly messing with his life one thing after another, and just making his life absolutely miserable up until the point of quote-unquote killing him by listing him as deceased in the employee database of the FBI. That was funny. And I enjoyed that sort of thing, and I liked the way that it was shot. I agree with Rich. I liked the diverse cast. I thought it was eye-opening, and it had characters like I had not seen in any other movie ever.
Definitely.
And it was fantabulous, and I liked it. Things I don't like. I don't like criminals being heralded as heroes. That's never been a big fan of mine. I'm not the guy that really loves Batman.
Interesting.
And
I can totally get on that train.
There is,
but I have good reason for it.
Absolutely no way any one of those kids walked out of that station because of Serial Killer's broadcast.
Yeah.
They're all going to jail.
Agreed.
For a very long time. Even if it's just for the green light program that he left running robot on his computer when they were set to be arrested the morning before they go to Grand Central. You know how many millions of dollars of car insurance he just blew? Hundreds of thousands of people with their traffics interrupted and car accidents and various other things like that. That's not just a harmless little ha-ha. Now, when I was 15, that was the coolest stuff ever.
Yeah.
And
I don't mind it costing the insurance companies a bunch of money. People didn't look like they were getting seriously hurt, so because it was just traffic lights in a busy city, so people weren't doing 50.
Somebody somewhere got hurt.
Sure.
I guarantee it.
Sure.
Flooding the school. Do you know how much damage that would have done to set the sprinklers off?
You're getting old, Jason.
I know. Get off my lawn. Yeah. That's the difference between watching this movie when you're 42 and watching it when you're 15. That's all there is to it. And it made me cringe. And the stuff that I used to cheer now really kind of pisses me off. I couldn't get behind liking the people for who they were and what they were doing because they should be in jail.
I think that was my biggest problem is I couldn't find redeemable qualities about any of the major characters.
Some of the hacks were funny. You know, like I thought the deceased one was funny. That didn't hurt anybody but him and it was easily rectified.
Having his credit card cut. Paperwork that takes.
But it didn't
and
hurt
money, probably.
Anyone.
It's bad because I do taxes, so I deal with people being accidentally marked dead all the time.
Oof.
I'm so glad I'm not in your
but
apartment.
But it didn't hurt anyone. I can get behind a simple no harm, no foul type
victimless
of...
Victimless crime.
Victimless crime.
And that is, of course, the measure, right? Is whether or not it victimizes somebody else. I don't necessarily know that I would agree with it being... I wouldn't have a serious big reaction to it like you guys are. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to, you know, champion the things that hurt other people in order to accomplish some greater story point. But I don't feel like the characters were not acting responsibly because they were teenagers. So they were using their power as dilettantes and being irresponsible about it. And that was part of the fun of the story. And that's why it was more fun to watch when we were teenagers or what
exactly.
Have you. I guess I wasn't a teenager when it came out. You know what I mean?
I guess that's true. But it's like V for Vendetta when those horrible people try to blow up the parliament. They're bad people.
But there's the thing.
It took me a long time for that one, too.
There's the thing. Is like I also don't have a problem, though, with celebrating criminals in an anti-establishment scenarios because it is intended to highlight where the establishment is abusing its power. And laws are made by men that often persecute people unnecessarily. I'm not saying that hackers are right. I'm not saying that glorifying them for what they did was right. But I'm saying I will never stop there and go, that just hits me wrong. I can't take it. They're bad people doing bad things. Because somebody else is defining what's bad. And I think we have to think right. For ourselves, make decisions in life for ourselves. And movies, stories, are one of the principal tools we have for exploring those ideas.
Okay.
And should be.
I will give you that, and I will step back a little bit on my statement and go to, I can't abide criminals that hurt people getting away with what they do.
Sure. And I agree. And the end of that glorifies it to the point where it's like, it looks like they're all just going to walk out of the FBI's custody.
They all
people.
Do.
Yeah. In reality, we know they're going to be dealing, even if they're underage, they're going to be dealing with years of bureaucratic BS of some kind.
Uh-huh. But, the pranks, but I think they took it a step too far. I think some of the things that they did were really criminal.
It's tough, though. In a lot of stories, even if you don't look at it as criminal issues, you look at it as things that had the potential to hurt people. There's a lot of stories, both based in reality and history and in fiction, that we see where people have to take steps that have that potential, that can be dangerous, can be damaging, in order to accomplish what looks like them to be a greater good. And often this is because the opposition they're dealing with is far more powerful than they are, like the plague, for example. You know, so I like seeing, it isn't necessarily about underdogs, but I mean, a lot of anytime you see like an alien invasion scenario, the aliens come down, they take over. They're the ones making the rules at this point. If I defy them, people around me are probably going to get hurt because I'm making a ruckus. They're going to come shooting, and who cares about collateral damage? Does that mean I don't defy them? Well, you don't have much of a story if you don't defy them. You know, collateral damage it is. It's unfortunate, and it's not about breaking a law at that point, but it is about telling a story about fighting against something oppressive and dealing with the fact that you can't do it without potentially harming other people in the process. Not to justify it, just saying it's an element of storytelling like this.
But on that same note, I'll play in a Hunger Games scenario. Katniss speaks out, so District 12 gets blown up.
Right.
She didn't blow up District 12.
Right.
She spoke out, which is what she needed to do.
But she felt responsible.
She felt responsible, but she didn't do it.
Right.
They did it. They are responsible. Their actions caused that, not hers.
Right. In retaliation.
It was in retaliation. Was it a domino that was in place? Yes. But they had a domino that they could have removed.
Sure.
The stuff that I'm grumbling about was their domino.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, I can see that.
It was their domino that caused the damage. So there was a domino between
Directly responsible for.
Directly responsible for, not indirectly responsible for.
There's a lot of nuance. Talk about something on the lines of like the science fiction stories we're talking about. You're dealing with very big scenarios with very big reactions.
Yeah.
You know, so
and I just, like yeah. I said, if nothing else, that streetlight scene was inexcusable.
Fair.
And it was stupid because he left it on autopilot. They're going to break into his place, find the computer running the program that did that.
Well, I hope you'll forgive me breaking in and dragging that out as a...
No, you're fine. Long story short...
Too late.
I didn't enjoy the movie as much this time as I had in previous viewings. When I hit play, I thought it was going to be a 3.5-4-star movie. When all is said and done, it's a 2.
Wow, that is a big drop.
I can't recommend it as a good movie.
I'm sorry to hear that. I know you were excited about it.
But doing
it
for the show. I still find joy in the little things that I find joy in, but there were a lot of things that I used to find joy in that I'm now the old man, get off my lawn. It's not the same movie it was when I was 15.
Kid, what do you think?
Hi.
This is interesting. Interesting conversation we're having here. I'm sure the listeners have long since tuned out and got home, but you know.
Are we still recording?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
I'm going to skip more or less straight to the end here. Thumbs down.
Stars.
I had some problems with two of the majorest characters in the movie. I was not a big fan of Dade. Partially,
thank you.
You're welcome. Partially, I wasn't impressed with his actor, which I kind of touched on earlier. In considering that, since I made that initial comment, I'm willing to give him a little bit of slide room because it did occur to me he was portraying a extremely unusual person, a genius of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
I actually knew a kid in high school who was on the level of intellect that our hero here was supposed to be, but he was in high school at the age of 14. I have a hard time understanding why a kid who pulled off what he did by the time he was 11 wasn't taking college classes at the point that he actually was in the movie, but be that as it may and leave it here or there, it doesn't matter. I'm willing to apologize for him to a certain degree because of that, but I was still not terribly impressed either with the acting or with the character in a lot of ways. But most of that's already been touched on by previous commenters. My second issue was with the plague, and that's for one really simple reason. There should never have been any incriminating evidence in his garbage file. You trash those for a reason, and then you empty your trash can. It's standard operating procedure.
I thought the garbage file in this case was one because he was so specific about knowing what it was. And when he mentioned it to her, she knew exactly what he was talking about. I thought he was labeling something garbage that wasn't.
Yeah, they labeled it garbage, but it really wasn't. It was to try to hide it from anybody else looking into it.
That was the impression I got. Yeah, otherwise, when he said my garbage file, how would she have known what he was talking about? She knew nothing about computers. So this is something that would have been already part of a conversation.
I definitely don't label it. This is my criminal plan to steal money from my employer.
I thought her comment was, but it's garbage. Wasn't that what she said to him?
No, that
was the hackers talking.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got off the mic for a second. That was the hackers talking to Joey saying, it was garbage, man. You keep garbage in the garbage. It's nothing worthwhile.
So I will kind of remit that somewhat, but only somewhat.
Okay.
It's like putting porn in your operating folder.
Don't judge me.
People don't do that.
Judge Richard? Yeah, they do. What are you talking about? I got emails. Oh, sorry.
No. Feedback at prismaticsunami.com.
Thumbs up. And I had a few pretty good thumbs ups in this movie. The pranks. Yeah. Starting from the Olympic pool on the roof, going through the the hacker duel, and just some of the little snipes that they made at each other over the course of the movie. I very much enjoyed almost all of that. I liked some of the stuff that Plague played on Dade early on in the movie. When he started targeting his mom, that was way out of bounds. I wasn't cool with that. And by that point, I already didn't like that joke anyways. But some of that stuff was really fun. The music was absolutely incredible throughout most of the movie. And in certain portions, I would have said it was one of my favorite things about this movie. So I'm giving half a star to this movie just for how well the music was handled, because I thoroughly loved it the first time I watched this back when I was just a little bit. And I still thoroughly loved it when I rewatched it today. And last but not least, I have to say the... There was something. Something towards the very end that was just super cool. Anyways, 3.5 stars. I didn't enjoy it as much as I liked it when I was younger, much like Jason. But when I was younger, I would have said this was one of my favorite movies I've ever seen. And now it's just a really enjoyable movie. I give it 3.5 stars.
I don't know how any of you liked any of the pranks. They were all so childish and annoying.
They were children.
Yes, but they like them now, and I'm the youngest one in the room.
They were annoying children. I liked the pranks, because the kinds of pranks I was subjected to as a victim back when I was in school were nowhere near this creative or entertaining or enjoyable. They were much boringer, dumber, and more...
Yeah, the pranking is actually one of the things I don't dig about the story, but I feel like it's character establishing, culture establishing.
It's cultural.
Yeah. Actually, character is one of the arguments I'd have, and Richard brought it up strongly. The one thing you mentioned that kind of got me thinking was how much you thought all the characters were well realized, how you could feel their world around them, how you could see them doing their own thing in their world, and how that continued off screen. And actually, I feel like some of the characters were really just caricatures, especially given how vibrant they were. The freak, serial killer, Lord Nikon, they had so much about them. It was just style more than substance. And so, I did have trouble imagining what their regular life was. The closest they got to kind of fixing that for me was how Serial kept asking if he could crash at somebody else's place.
Yes.
Or how when Dade's mom said, help yourself to anything in the fridge, Serial has. Stuff like that.
Maybe it's more because I hung out with that type of subculture.
That's fair.
So I got the characters a lot better.
I remembered what it was. It was in the last bit of the attack on the Gibson, how I and the way they used the color throughout this,
yeah,
as things became kind of purplish and then red, and it felt like it was getting hot and all this. But the very last scene where the Plague is sitting there going, is that all you got? Come on, bring it.
Yeah.
And then it shows and we have already digged at the way they graphically represented the hack. But that last scene where the four things slam down on the middle and they're like, he got the colonel. That looked and felt like such a game over scene straight out of a video game that it just absolutely tickled me. And I loved it.
Five stars for me, Rich.
All right.
Hackers remains to this day still one of my favorite movies to watch in that time period.
I loved it.
Likewise, madam. Likewise.
So basically from the rundown, it comes out to 3.25 stars altogether. It is a niche cultural movie.
Yes.
If you're like really into the subculture, you'll probably greatly enjoy it. If you're not a fan of certain aspects that we've covered here, it's probably all right to skip it. But it is a cultural milestone. Touchstone.
I have to say on the heels of that something. This is a culture I really wanted to be a part of, but they wouldn't have me. I was literally outcast by the outcasts.
Yeah, I wouldn't let you in.
The untouchable.
No offense, but I wouldn't
have. I was easily smart enough. I just couldn't get the stuff. You had to have stuff, and my parents wouldn't let me have stuff.
What do we got coming up next?
Waterworld!
By request.
Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah, that's a request from a listener, so there you go.
Is that the movie that starts with the dude drinking his own pee?
Something like that. We'll get to it. So, I want to thank everybody else for joining us this week. Make sure you watch Waterworld before next week, and we'll get back on the air with you and talk about it. For Richard, for Vanessa, for Jason and the kid, my name is Eric. Have a fantastic week and a great holiday. Hey.
man. Game over.